Well, joining me now on the phone is my Chicago Tribune colleague, Hal Dardick, a member of the Chicago Tribune investigative team, a good friend and also a great reporter. And Hal, thanks for joining me this morning.
I'm glad to be here, Rick.
I appreciate the story you had in last week's paper, the race to beat the clock on Lincoln Yards, and how a delay could have stopped the mega development from getting $1.3 billion in taxpayer money. Very well researched, very well written. Hal, let's take us back to the beginning here. You know, people hear the term Lincoln Yards. What are we talking about?
Yeah, Lincoln Yards is a 55-acre development that lies between affluent Lincoln Park and booming Bucktown, straddles the Chicago River, which is we all know, becoming increasingly an attraction in the city. And it was an old industrial area way back into the mid-19th century, but they rezoned it a couple years ago, allowing for not just industrial development, but, you know, all kinds of what they call mixed-use development, you know, residential, retail, commercial, hotels, entertainment venues, and things of that nature. So it's a mega development, as they like to say today, and these are becoming increasingly common in large cities like New York, particularly, and in Chicago, there's a couple on the board. So it's just a huge development that's going to sort of transform that area. That's, you know, just a couple miles from the loop there.
It basically becomes almost its own community.
Oh yeah, it's going to add about 15,000 residents when it's all built, assuming it all does get built as planned. It's going to have its own new metro stop. It's going to require new bridges over the river to get there, and it's going to have very tall buildings. That was a point of contention when this was going through the approval process at City Hall, and folks thought they were too tall. They did lower them somewhat. It's going to have its own set of parks. So it's really, I guess maybe not the best analogy, but it's sort of like plopping down a small suburb on an area that's you know, ripe for development.
14.5 million square feet of office, residential, hotel, restaurant, retail, entertainment space, packed into 55 acres at a cost of $6 billion. So the developer of this wanted and said they had to have tax increment financing money. What's a TIF?
Yeah, a TIF is a way to use property tax money devoted strictly to the infrastructure within the area that's being developed. So at its most basic level, when a TIF is approved, the amount of money or the assessed value of the land upon which all the taxing districts, primarily the city and the schools, are getting their money stays the same for the next 23 years. But of course,
at the undeveloped assessment rate.
On the day they approve the TIF, so it's, you know, relatively a small amount of money that will grow dramatically over those 23 years. So the property taxes collected will go up by huge amounts of money. I think it's, if my memory serves, it's about, you know, today they're collecting a little over $5 million from the area that's going to all those taxing agencies. And if the tax rate stays the same, they'll continue to collect that amount. But by year 23, when this thing's built out, and they plan on having it built out sooner, the taxes generated in there would be about $170 million. So the rest of that money, you know, over $100 million a year in the later years, is going to go into this TIF fund, and then they're going to turn around and use it to build these bridges, metro station, subsidize park development, affordable housing, all within you know, very, very controversial because the argument goes, well, you're giving it in areas that would develop otherwise, doesn't pass this sort of complicated but-for test.
Well, and that's and I want to bring that up about the but-for test, as well as kind of those complicated issues that resulted in the fact that, as the story says, truly why this thing got rushed. And we're going to talk about that after we take a quick break. We're speaking with Hal Dardick from the Chicago Tribune. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune. We're speaking with Hal Dardick from the Chicago Tribune's investigative team. And Hal wrote a piece that you can find at chicagotribune.com about the TIF money and the relatively rapid approval of getting this project done for Lincoln Yards. And Hal, where we left off was the issue of, you know, what constitutes a TIF, what qualifies it to be a TIF, and why did this kind of get accelerated beyond what we had heard when Mayor Lightfoot was talking about, well, this needs to go through her evaluation process.
Right. The way an area qualifies for a TIF, and it was designed back in the 1970s to redevelop industrial areas that were blighted and just wouldn't see development otherwise.
I think blight is pretty much the key component word.
It is. There are other kinds of TIF districts, but the original intent of TIF was to fix blighted areas, and you have to find that these areas are blighted and would not develop without the TIF district or but for the TIF district. So unless you created this, there wouldn't be any development in the area. So you have to subsidize it and pump, you know, money into their new infrastructure to help the developer afford the cost. And then you're going to create jobs and development and, you know, keep the city economically healthy. But over the years, particularly under the Daley administration, they were used in areas that you wouldn't consider blighted. Downtown Chicago is a primary example. The Sale Street TIF was very controversial. And people increasingly resisted them, believing that those areas would have developed anyway. So what you're doing is you're siphoning money into that area that otherwise would have gone to the schools, the city, and would have relieved the tax burden on the rest of the city. There is a lawsuit pending over Lincoln Yard saying, guess what, folks, we don't believe it met that but-for test and should never have been declared a TIF. And so I took a look at how this one qualifies as a blighted area. There's in 1999, the state set 13 specific standards for the areas with buildings on them within the TIF district that had to be met. In this particular TIF, where they'd already rezoned and people were already going in and buying up land, particularly the developer that wants to do this development, Sterling Bay, and was it really blighted was the question. And in this case, it met five of those 13 standards, the bare minimum. And one of those standards was declining or lagging equalized assessed valuation or the value of the land used for taxing purposes in the area. And they took a look at 2013 through 2017 because those were the most recently available statistics. And so when they looked at that, they found that in the first 3 years of those years, that it did grow slower than the rest of the city. But in the last 2 years, it grew at a rate, the assessed value did, twice that or more than twice that of the rest of the city. And the 2018 assessed values were nearly complete but not quite done at the time they approved this in April. And meanwhile, many candidates, and particularly now Mayor Lori Lightfoot, was saying this needs to wait until the next administration. There's too many questions. We don't know if the city is getting enough out of the developer. Sterling Bay needs to be more parkland. Are the buildings too tall? Do we need the TIF? And But at the last minute, is the Emanuel administration just kept pushing this and pushing this. They got all the various approvals to the city council for Mayor Emanuel's last meeting in April. And then-elect Mayor Lightfoot is saying, you know, this should wait. This should wait. And she says this, by my count, nine times in various press releases and public pronouncements. And then at the last minute, although the votes are there, you know, and she delays, she's able to get the Emanuel administration to delay at the initial Finance Committee meeting, but it comes back in 2 days, and by that point, then-elect Mayor Lightfoot says, I've managed to get more minority and woman-owned contracting deals out of this TIF district, and I'm not crazy about it. I'm going to let it. I'm not going to oppose it. No. And so it goes forward and gets voted in. Everyone thinks it's all getting sort of rushed through because former Mayor Emanuel wanted to burnish his legacy, you know, as the guy that made Chicago boom again. But when I took a look at it, it was obvious to me pretty quickly that the assessed value issue would have disqualified it to be blighted if it had been delayed until the Lightfoot administration. And then I did it. Other than that initial impression, I did a far more complex set of calculations that showed, indeed, that's exactly what happened, and it would not have met this blighted standard. So it would have had to, once it started over, it never would have been able to be declared blighted and couldn't have been a TIF district. Now, they could have come back and said, well, we want to try and do a conservation district. They never did that analysis, so whether it would have met that standard or not, but that standard says, well, it's at risk of becoming blighted, and as many experts told me, that would be a much harder sell to folks to say, well, you know, is everybody's buying land up there for hundreds of millions of dollars, you're going to tell me it's
at risk
and blighted.
Well, so bottom line, if they had waited, the new assessment's published, it knocks them out of the competition for being eligible for $1.3 billion in TIF funding.
That's exactly right.
Timing is everything in politics and show business.
Exactly.
Isn't that what they say, Hal?
It is. It is. And the thing is, no one ever said this publicly. Actually, later this week, you know, some of the aldermen involved that really pushed it, Alderman Brian Hawkins in the second ward, Pat O'Connor, then the finance committee chairman, said, you know, we didn't know about these assessed values, although, you know, neither really expressed surprise. And Mayor Lightfoot this week said, I didn't know that this was an issue. And I, you know, I have no reason to question that in any way. But you got to think, and nobody's said that was the case, but these are sophisticated people at City Hall and at Sterling Bay who had this study done. If they read it, they would have known that this was impending. So the public wasn't, you know, aware that this was going on, and it could have, you know, dramatically changed the debate, I would think.
Sure. Over 23 years of the TIF, the value of the land for taxing purposes is projected to grow from $87.4 million to $2.5 billion. And the capture of those increased taxes that won't be going to taxing authorities, but will be funneled back into basically a subsidy for development, $170 million each year. It's amazing. Hal, thank you so much for joining me this morning and explaining this. And it's a great read. And as I said, you can find it at chicagotribune.com. Thanks, Hal.
Yeah, thanks for having me and letting me actually have time to explain this thing.
It's not as complicated as it sounds, folks. That's for sure.